From the halls of every school in Michigan, this is School Talks on 760 WJR with Dr. Robert Livernoy. Sponsored by Wakely Associates, Plant Moran Real Point, Collins and Plaha, O'Reilly Rancilio PC Attorneys at Law, and by Clark Construction. Now take your seats. Class is in session. Here's Robert.
This week on the program, we take a deep dive into robotics, both how it affects the manufacturing sector and schools throughout Michigan. Joining us on the program, Paula McPherson, who's on the board of directors for the Macomb Automation Robotics Zone. We have Mr. Mike May, teacher from Warren Consolidated Schools and leader of the district robotics team, and Gail Elpert, president at First of Michigan, which is a substantial force in the robotics community. All this and more coming up. This is School Talks on 760 WJR.
This is School Talks on WJR with Dr. Robert Livernoy.
Depending on where you live in the state of Michigan, you may be aware that many, many school districts have developed an interest, and in many cases, an intense interest in robotics for students. And as you may be aware, Michigan has played a critical role in the evolution of robotics manufacturing over the past 30 years, driven largely by its deep ties to the automotive industry and its reputation as a global manufacturing hub. Since the 1990s, the rise of automation in automotive manufacturing has been substantial. And in Michigan's automotive dominance, particularly in Detroit, which we all know as the Motor City, spurred early adoption of robotics. The big three automakers back in the day, General Motors, Ford, and Chrysler, invested heavily in robotics to automate assembly lines, improving efficiency and precision in car manufacturing. Just as well, early robotics suppliers, companies such as Fanuc, which has a significant presence in Michigan, and ABB supplied robotics for tasks like welding, painting, and material handling. Now, the economic challenges in the late 1990s saw some substantial fluctuation in automotive demand, but robotics adoption continued as companies sought to cut costs and improve competitiveness. Moving into the early 2000s, expansion and diversification in robotics was also significant. In fact, adoption beyond auto was prevalent. While the automotive industry remained the primary driver of robotics, Michigan saw growth in robotics use in other industries such as aerospace, food production, and logistics. Michigan's robotic cluster, which we know as Southeast Michigan, includes areas like Novi and Auburn Hills, and really became a hub for robotics companies. As I mentioned, Fanuc America, KUKA Robotics, and Kawasaki Robotics established significant operations here, which has now also spread well into Macomb and Oakland County. The research and education responded accordingly as well. Institutions like the University of Michigan and Michigan State University began advancing robotics research, focusing on machine learning, automation, and AI, artificial intelligence, to support manufacturing. As we moved into the 2010s, advanced robotics and what we know as Industry 4.0 really became a revolution. In fact, Michigan manufacturers embraced smart manufacturing and advanced robotics. Collaborative robots, or as some call cobots, designed to work alongside humans, gained significant traction in the industry. There was also a surge of robotics startups in Michigan, particularly around Detroit and Ann Arbor. Companies focused on niche areas such as autonomous vehicles, logistics automation, and machine vision. In the government and private sector as well, Michigan saw increased funding for robotics and automation through state-backed programs like the Michigan Economic Development Corporation and private venture capital. And as we all know well, hot on the table right now are autonomous vehicles. Companies like General Motors Cruise and Ford began exploring autonomous driving technologies, fueling robotics innovation in both manufacturing and mobility. And if you're paying attention to what's happening in the city of Detroit between the renovation of the old train station and what happens with Detroit's Renaissance Center, is something to keep our eye on as it relates to autonomous vehicles. Into the 2020s, leadership in robotics manufacturing really accelerated. In fact, the COVID-19 pandemic accelerated robotics adoption in Michigan as companies sought to minimize human interaction on production lines and address labor shortages. Likewise, the growth of artificial intelligence integration made robotic systems increasingly integrated with AI, enabling predictive maintenance, adaptive manufacturing, and real-time decision-making. The electric vehicle boom, which right now is really a red-hot political issue, caused the shift toward EV manufacturing, which placed new demands on robotics. Michigan companies led the charge in automating battery assembly, lightweight materials handling, and EV-specific production processes. The future is yet to be written on that, but it certainly will include robotics. On the education front, the continued workforce development, Michigan's universities and technical schools expanded programs in robotics engineering and manufacturing technology to address the growing demand for skilled workers. So Michigan's role today remains a powerhouse in robotics manufacturing. Its ecosystem of established automakers, robotics firms, and research institutions ensures that it remains a leader in integrating robotics into the manufacturing processes. The state also plays a significant role in shaping future technologies, including AI-driven robotics, those autonomous systems, and smart factories. So what does all of this mean to K-12 schools in Michigan? It means a lot. And joining us on the program today, we have a really neat inside look at things that are happening in and around schools in Michigan as it relates to robotics. After a word from our sponsor, we'll dig right into the world of robotics. First up will be Paula McPherson from the Macomb Automation Robotics Zone. We'll be back right after this. This is 760 WJR.
This is School Talks on WJR with Dr. Robert Livernoy, sponsored by Wakely Associates, Plant Moran Real Point, Collins and Blaha, O'Reilly Rancilio PC Attorneys at Law, and by Clark Construction. Once again at the head of the class, Dr. Livernoy.
Continuing our discussion about all things robotics, I'd like to welcome to the program Paula McPherson, who is the secretary for the board of directors of the Macomb Automation and Robotics Zone, which we know as MARS. Welcome to the program, Paula.
Thank you, Dr. Livernoy.
So, Paula, what is MARS? We know it's a planet, but what is MARS here in Michigan?
Sure. So, MARS is really created with the purpose of getting students interested in STEM. One of the things that we realized is that a lot of kids don't quite know what STEM is or what types of careers could come out of that. And so that was really where that was born.
You know, what's interesting about trying to get kids involved, I can think of an entire generation who was completely mystified when the man landed on the moon and what that did for science and all of that historical view of the space race and things like that. And I just, as a side, I think about the innovations that are currently happening with SpaceX and Elon Musk, how he brought that rocket back down and landed it in, you know, in the launch pad. If I'm a young boy interested in science, I think that has a similar potential to intrigue me as to how is this happening. So that's exciting to see those kinds of things. So with respect to the students and the programs, who is your target audience for these programs and resources offered at Mars?
Absolutely. So the target audience are students throughout Macomb County, regardless of which school district they're in. And we are truly targeting the K through 12 students. And we do that a variety of ways. With our grant funding and generous donations, we're able to help support teams that maybe don't have the funding, don't have the fundraising behind them to be able to do what they need to do as far as buying supplies for the robots, attending scrimmages or actual events. And so we're able to help fill that gap. And then we also provide support to the mentors as well. Being a mentor is no small thing. You don't need any specialized training other than patience and a love of children. And we'll teach you the rest and help you along the way and give you those support services. So those are just some of the things that we do.
And I understand you recently acquired, I guess what would be called a regulation size practice field?
Yes.
Where is that located?
So that's actually located in the AMCC building. It's in the Innovation District in Sterling Heights. Previously, Mars was located in the Velocity building, and they outgrew that building because the practice field is so large, but it now gives us an opportunity to bring the students in, practice their robots, and really get polished and prepared for events. Mm-hmm. So that's very exciting. And then we can also host some friendly scrimmages, too.
And the Velocity was at 18 Mile Road in Van Dyke, correct?
Yes.
And the new place is located where?
That is on Mound on Center Road in the Innovation District.
Okay, nice. Okay. So we're currently with Paula McPherson from the Board of Directors of Mars, which is the Macomb Automation and Robotic Zone. In what ways does Mars collaborate, or should I say benefit, with connecting with businesses in the community?
Absolutely. So the biggest thing that is truly a huge help, one is we're able to get mentors from some of those businesses. Two, we're able to get funding from businesses. But even greater than that, and I think a big part of the mission with Mars, not to be punny, but, you know, really is looking at the focus of Macomb County as well. So kids don't know what they don't know, and they don't understand, right, what types of careers could come out of STEM or robotics learning programs like Mars. And throughout Macomb County, we have 1,900 manufacturers, and more than 30% of everything that is done as far as industry in Macomb County, that is a result from manufacturing. And so one of the things that we realized is we need to start educating the students that we're educating in our school systems to let them know they don't need to look elsewhere for jobs. There are really great jobs right here in Macomb County with some really notable companies. And so we thought if we could start exposing them earlier and doing it through play with Lego robotics, putting them on teams and giving them these opportunities, maybe we'll get more interested and keep them right here in Macomb County after college.
Sure, sort of planting the seed early and making them aware of things, yeah.
Absolutely, and everyone's equally vested. Yeah. You know, not only the businesses that are there, but also future businesses. People who are looking to locate a manufacturing business in Macomb County, they're looking at what is the pool of applicants, right? They're looking for what is that level of expertise. So we realized there was a need to really start grooming that early.
Mm-hmm. You know, the Macomb Intermediate School District, in partnership with all of the districts in the county, they host a manufacturing day, which I'm sure
yes.
You're aware of. And I can remember, this is a few years ago now, where one of the stops on Manufacturing Day, which is essentially a day dedicated to visiting numerous places that are manufacturing related. And I remember going to a place called Forey Automation in Shelby Township.
Yes.
And we took these students in there, you know, they all get off school buses and that. And we go in this place and you would think that you're on another planet.
Yeah.
Because all these robots are doing things, and the conversation that kids had on the bus on their way to the next stop mm-hmm. was remarkable. And I think about your point about how important it is to expose students to this, because they really don't know what they don't know.
Right.
And you put that in front of them, you create an entire generation well beyond Legos.
Yeah, right? Manufacturing has gone away from the, you know, we all know that Diego Rivera painting, right, yeah. of industry. And that's not what manufacturing is anymore. Yes, it is in some instances, but, you know, the larger manufacturing world really is very technical. With Industry 4.0, there's so much and such a broad range of opportunity mm-hmm. in manufacturing.
So what impact has Mars had on the community so far?
Oh, I'm so glad that you asked that. So not only have we been raising funds and supporting teams, but to date, we have been able to serve 46 teams throughout Macomb County and help those teams grow, which is really exciting.
Fantastic. If someone wanted to get involved with Mars, what's their best way to get in touch with you?
So you could visit our website, which is MacombMars.org. And you can also donate there securely on our page. As little as $1,000 can provide an event for students. We just did one yesterday in the Centerline Schools for third graders. $1,000 gets students an opportunity to get their hands on one of these robots and work with a team of their fellow students and get them involved.
Paula McPherson from the Macomb Automation and Robotics Zone Board of Directors, you've given us a great perspective on opportunities for students in robotics and advanced manufacturing. I want to thank you so much for joining us on the program, and keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Coming up after the break, we'll have Mike May from Warren Consolidated Schools, teacher and robotics coach of the world-famous Team 818. We'll be back right after this.
School Talks on WJR with Dr. Robert Livernoy.
Joining us now on the program is Mike May, a teacher in Warren Consolidated Schools at the Macomb Math, Science, and Technology Center. And of equal importance, he is the head coach of Team 818, which is the district's robotics team. Welcome to the program, Mike.
Thank you for having me.
So right out of the gate, what is the mission of Team 818 Robotics? And how does it align to educational goals?
Well, the mission of the team is to expose our team members, our students, to a variety of STEM fields and just STEM careers, and to expose to them kind of what it is you could potentially do, you know, if you decided to pursue that, you know, post high school. Obviously, you know, it's going to align with education by exposing them to those things that, you know, a traditional class might not let you know that it entails, you know. And yes, it's robotics, but it really just opens them up to engineering and to applications of science and to applications of math and, you know, applications of art and design as well. So.
Yeah, and you know, for our School Talks listeners, STEM, and also, which has expanded to STEAM, is science, technology, engineering, arts, and mathematics. That's the acronym for it. And I don't think you could have answered it any better in terms of how much more it is than robotics. So within Warren Consolidated Schools, how many of your schools participate on the team?
Well, we have, on Team 818, we've got, you know, roughly 50 members, and they come from all three of the high schools, Warren Mott, Warren Cusno, and Sterling Heights High School. And we also have students that participate in MMSTC. We have students that participate at Career Prep Center, you know, in vocational training. And then, and actually, in addition to Team 818, because we had such a large following over the last few years, we have a second team that Team 818 started, Team 9558, that also incorporates another approximately 50 students. So right now we're at about 100 students from potentially, you know, five different high school programs.
Yeah, and for anyone who has seen a robotics competition, it's as exciting and engaging as any Division I final I've ever seen. The activity, the teamwork, the support of the parents and the staff, it really is a remarkable opportunity for students to not only be part of something, but something that is so application-based and a sincere effort to help them build a good future. So for Team 818, what are some of the team's achievements or milestones in recent years?
Well, we've been around for just over 20 years, and they did have success, early on. But the last 3 to 4 years, once we came out of COVID, we really have hit our pinnacle in terms of achievements, in which we have we're going 3 years in a row running of qualifying for the state championships. One of those years, we actually won our field at the state championship, but all three of those years as well, at the state championships in Saginaw, 818 has qualified to go on to the world championships in Houston, Texas. And in Houston, we actually won our field once again. So in terms of the success of the competition robot, immense success that we've seen. But in addition to just the competition robot on the field, we have won roughly 8 different awards in which the FIRST community has recognized us for, whether it's engineering or imagery. They've really recognized us for every facet of the team, which is really nice because it's not just the robot, it's programming and it's our design and our marketing that they're recognizing us for. So it's really been a good run, and we hope to keep it up this year.
And your achievements and your leadership are well recognized, and it's nice to see the respect and attention that this sport is giving, especially given how essential robotics are out in the engineering and manufacturing world. And for our School Talks listeners, we're currently with Mike May from Warren Consolidated Schools, who is the head coach of Team 818 Robotics, which has had some remarkable successes in the last few years. So from a participation perspective, what grade levels of students can participate in robotics? And also, are there any particular prerequisites to getting on the team? Like, do you have to try out or things like that?
For Team 818, we compete in an FRC, or FIRST Robotics Competition. So that's grades 9 through 12. But in actuality, the FIRST program in Michigan will take kids from lower elementary, whether it's Lego League, FIRST Lego League, and we also have a middle school programs that exist for 6 through 8 for FIRST Tech Challenge, FTC. In terms of prerequisites for our students, there is no skill, no experience that is required to participate. We will take anyone who has a passion for it, who wants to understand, who wants to get into engineering and math and science and computer science and design, and we'll kind of give them the tools and experience, and with our mentors from the field, kind of get them, plant the seeds into it and see where they want to take it.
So am I correct in assuming that when they join the team and work with mentors and get training, there's opportunities for them to learn some of the specifics like programming and mechanical engineering and some of those other STEM-related skills?
Absolutely, absolutely. Having volunteers from the, from the professional field who are able to come in and assist us, they're going to expose them to those things. They're going to share with them what it is they use in their jobs on a daily basis, and we're then going to kind of duplicate it on a much smaller level. But it's the same basic concepts of working as a team and understanding that you have a vital role in the big picture, whether it's the design component or assembly or or computer science and programming, what have you. It kind of is a model for the professional world that the students take part in.
And the mentors who work with these students, what are some of the jobs they hold out in the private sector, so to speak?
Now, we get a good mix. We'll get mentors from General Motors who might be engineers. We'll get mentors from other private sector programs who will be possibly in sales or be mechanical engineers. McNaughton McKay has been a huge supporter. They give us multiple mentors each year. We will get people who are in marketing and advertising, and that's their specialty. So they might work in sales with their company, and then they'll kind of help us out in that aspect of fundraising. We'll get people in the print industry. We really do get a big mix of different STEM fields and people who are passionate about translating that into kids and into working with students and exposing them to that and getting them hooked on it to continue that post high school.
And that is a good word, hooked on it, because I know many students who participate in robotics. And in fact, my daughter Laura was once the captain of Team 818 in Warren Consolidated Schools. And it really is a great opportunity for kids. And that's all the time we have today. Mike, I want to thank you very much for joining us, and keep up the good works in all things robotics.
Thank you for having me.
Joining us next, right after the break, is Gail Elpert, president at First of Michigan, a pioneer in producing a STEM-focused workforce. We'll be back right after this. This is 760 WJR.
Talks on WJR is sponsored by Wakely Associates, Point Moran Real Point, Collins & Blaha, O'Reilly Rancilio PC Attorneys at Law, and by Clark Construction. Now let's get back to class. Once again, your host, former Superintendent Dr. Robert Livernoy.
Joining us now on the program is Gail Elpert, president at First in Michigan. Welcome to the program, Gail.
Thank you. So nice to be here.
So, Gail, tell us a bit about what First of Michigan is, and more importantly, how it connects to robotics.
So First in Michigan is actually a workforce development program, and we use the robot as a vehicle to get the kids excited about different careers in STEM.
And what a beautiful metaphor, a robot as a vehicle, right? So as far as the robotics aspect of First Robotics, what kinds of involvement do schools have as it relates to competitions and things like that?
So First in Michigan sponsors all of FIRST programs within the state, and we start in kindergarten. We actually start at pre-K, and we go all the way up to grade 12. So the students have the opportunity to build on the skills at every level. Interestingly, though, we start at the high school, and we work our way down, because each of those teams will mentor the teams below them. So it's easiest if you start at the top and let them work their way down.
It's interesting. It seems to parallel at least somewhat how Science Olympiad works, starting with the young children going all the way up to high school teams. Tell us how the First Robotics competition works in Michigan with schools.
We've set it up so that the younger programs operate in the fall. And then again, if they need to go to a competition to keep their state grant, which we now have, then we do it again in the spring. But the winter is really our flagstar program. I mean, it's our flagship. We have the high school program that starts in January. The teams are unveiled at the beginning of January is our kickoff, where we learn what the new game is. The game changes every single year. What happens is, on a high school basketball arena, the students will spend 6 to 8 weeks building their robots, and then they play in 3-on-3 competitions with 40 other teams for 2.5 days.
You know, for our School Talks basketball fans, it has a Gus Macker feel, if you know who Gus Macker is, the 3-on-3 basketball tournament. You know, you mentioned the basketball court size. In my time as superintendent in Warren Consolidated, we actually took a gymnasium and dedicated it to our robotics team so that they could essentially in some way practice and train all year, whether it was part of the robotics curriculum or in preparation for this particular competition. So when the competitions happen in Michigan, are they all done at one site, or are there regionals, or does it replicate sort of an athletic structure down to the championship? How does that work?
It does in terms of advancement, where you go to district competitions, then you go to your state championship, then you go to the Worlds if you qualify. But more so, all of our competitions, we have a 5-week period where we have to run all of our competitions. Because our season is two events per team, we end up consolidating and having 6 competitions each week for 5 weeks. And they're all over the state. And that's because I felt very strongly that if you wanted schools to participate, you had to make it accessible and you had to make it close and you had to make sure that their support system could be there.
Sure. And you know, that explanation really lends credibility to the idea that when robotics first took hold, it was more viewed as a club and not some established system like high school football, so to speak. And as it's grown, I'm very much aware of the support that first teams have received from both companies and colleges. And could you tell us a bit about how they support the programs that help students in these competitions?
Sure. So they have a vested interest in making sure that we are growing the STEM workforce for them. They're the ones who are going to hire these kids in the future. So it's incumbent upon them to help them, to support them financially, and also to provide mentors to help these kids learn. Really, first is an internship in engineering or in STEM. It's not just about kids doing it on their own. It's different than other science endeavors. This one, it's heavily involved with mentors. Mentors, companies lend us both engineers, business people, anybody within their company, employees, to work alongside the kids when they're building their robots. Each team functions not just to build their robot, but also as a small startup. You have business endeavors, you have lots of different things that you're learning.
And you know, we're with Gail Alpert right now, president at First of Michigan, talking robotics in schools. And if I'm correct, Gail, this started in 2009. And I understand from the research I found that Michigan leads the world in the number of high school first robotics competition teams. Is that correct?
It does. We are quite enthusiastic about robots in Michigan, but it's also because of the way that we've structured the program. We do it a little differently than the rest of the world, per se. Mm-hmm. We've taken the progression of programs and made it for us what we think makes the most sense, which is each school does a program. So you don't have a lot of choices. If you're in middle school, you do a specific program. If you're in high school, you do a specific program. And so the progression through FIRST within the school districts is extremely easy, and it builds on the skills. And so by the time these kids graduate, they are such an asset to any company. They literally could go and have an internship right in high school. And actually, I have companies that call me when I was running my own team that would say to me, can you send me your 3 best programmers? And I would say, yes, but they have to be available from January through April. You cannot touch them during that time.
And you know, I am aware that some schools have actually more than one team now, much like maybe a football or a basketball program. Is this due to numbers of kids involved, or is it more of a skill set approach?
I actually think it's both. I think a lot of the reasons that we're starting to see multiple teams within a high school is because you have one robot. If we have teams that have 180 kids, not that many people will be able to touch the robot. So what they're doing is deciding, okay, let's have 2 teams. Let's put the newest kids that are just coming up, either the youngest or skill-wise, on a team to get them ready for the more advanced team. And FIRST has helped us in that regard, because what they do now is they provide, you know, it was very daunting when you got your kid of parts to say, even if you were an engineer, to say, here, this is the game that you're going to play. Please put this mess of components together into a robot. The design was just, it was very scary for a lot of teachers. So we knew that if we wanted to get every single school in Michigan involved, which is the goal of FIRST in Michigan, then we have to have a way to make it more accessible. So what FIRST did is they designed a they designed a robot to play the game that they unveil. A very simple robot. It won't win worlds. It won't probably win the state championship, but it's it makes the ramp up so much easier in terms of knowledge for all of the coaches that we're trying to get.
And, you know, I couldn't think of a better area for kids to get involved given Michigan's continued development away from what we would consider old-fashioned manufacturing into this advanced manufacturing sector. And you're doing a great job leading this robotics and opportunities for kids. And I want to thank you very much for joining us on the program and keep up the good work.
Thank you.
In addition to the neat opportunities and expansion of robotics in Michigan for our students and the economy at large, I want to share with our listeners, over the past decade, Michigan has experienced substantial growth in robotics manufacturing, and it's really solidified our position as a leader in automation and advanced manufacturing. In fact, as of 2017, Michigan led the United States with nearly 28,000 robots, accounting for 12% of the nation's total industrial robots. The concentration in Metro Detroit, between 2010 and 2015, Metro Detroit saw a 21% increase in industrial robots, with about 8.5 robots per 1,000 workers, nearly five times more than any other metro area. Also, the adoption of industrial automation has been pivotal in Detroit's continued economic revival, attracting investments from companies like Amazon and Quicken Loans. Top robotic manufacturers such as Fanuc and ABB have their North American robotic headquarters in Auburn Hills, Michigan, contributing to the state's robotic ecosystem. And Michigan's robotics industry has expanded into areas like machine tending and material handling, reducing reliance on automotive application and further helping the state diversify its economic sector. One last point, Michigan's revenue is expected to increase by $112 million following the implementation of what the industry knows as 4.0 technologies, reflecting the state's commitment to advanced manufacturing. To all the good things happening in Michigan, it is clear that robotics is here to stay and is continuing to help the state diversify and be an economic force in the world. I want to thank all of our guests today for a truly fascinating discussion about how robotics works in and around schools in Michigan. Special thanks to Paula McPherson from the Macomb Automation Robotics Zone, Mike May, teacher from Warren Consolidated Schools and coach of the world-famous Team 818 Robotics Team, and Gail Elpert, president at FIRST of Michigan. That's all the time we have, but remember, there are two ways to spell one and three ways to spell two. Till next time, this has been School Talks on 760 WJR.